This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm your host, Gary Holt, joined by my trail partner and co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary.
Well, how are things out in Missouri today?
Fantabulous. That's my word for the day.
Fantabulous.
Beautiful outside. All colors are coming out. We're having upper 70s or upper 60s, low 70s weather. It's gorgeous.
Well, it is my favorite time of the year, and we're going to talk a lot about trail riding and trail riding destinations on the show today. Tell us who we've got joining us.
Well, first we have Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of the Trailblazer magazine, talking about rider safety. Then we travel to Hodges, Alabama, to talk with Tina Lawler, activity director with Rock Bridge Canyon Equestrian Park.
Well, it is going to be a fun show. I feel a little bit outnumbered today with all of these attractive ladies joining us on the show. But that's okay. We're going to have a fun show. And Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee and join us. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Susanna Gibson.
Way out yonder where the prairie winds blow, from the Rio Grande up to old Idaho, there's a sound comes winging from over the plain. It's the cowboys a-singing the songs of the range. I want to be there when they ride into town. Can't get enough of that great western sound. It's the best of the west. Come along with me to the cowboy jubilee.
Let the fiddle play your bow and sweet melody.
Hear the cowboys answer with their hoey low tee.
That bunkhouse bass never loses the beat.
The cowboys start to clapping and they kick up their feet. I pick a prairie flower and I ask her to dance. Once around the floor and it must be romance. The prairie moon is shining for her and for me at the cowboy jubilee. I wanna be there when they ride into town. Can't get enough of that great western sound. It's the best of the west, I'm sure you'll agree. At the cowboy jubilee. At the cowboy jubilee.
Well, we're going to go about as far west as we can and stay on the continental United States and talk with Susanna Gibson. Susanna, good morning.
Good morning from sunny Central California.
Well,
good morning, Susanna. Good morning. How's Missouri? Missouri's beautiful. Beautiful. 77, low 70s, high 60s. It's beautiful weather with fall colors.
Oh, nice.
Well, I think we're all being blessed with some pretty weather right now, and my favorite time of the year to ride is in the fall. And talk to us a little bit, Susanna, about some of your favorite fall riding places, because you're a real trail riding expert.
I'm a trail riding lover. I just love to go out on the trails and to go camping. Some favorite ones. Well, the first favorite one that comes to mind is a couple of years ago. I'm thinking about three or so years ago. I flew up to Colorado and met for the first time and spent 4 days with Sue De Laurentiis, who is one of our very top journalists and trainers for Trailblazer magazine, and then also Ginger Catherines, who's head of the Cloud Foundation and works tirelessly for saving the Mustangs, and she goes to Congress and all of that. But all of that, all those credentials meant absolutely nothing. We just got together, and I think the fourth person was I can't remember her name, Anne, and she runs a hospital. She's like the administrator for a big hospital in Denver. But all that aside, we just met in a little cabin in the woods and rode the horses and went up into the fall colors, rode about 8 hours each day. The colors were just absolutely spectacular. The weather couldn't have been more fun. And we just rode some really, really technical trails and laughed. And it was just the essence of what trail riding was all about. It's just a really important memory in my mind. Also rode at Land Between the Lakes in the fall down on the border of what, Kentucky and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, rode there. And that was really, really special. That was actually my first foray back into the fall colors. And last year, about this time last year, actually, I flew back. I was invited to the opening of a new resort in Middleburg, Virginia, called the Salamander Inn. And it's just the fanciest place I've ever been to. If they hadn't paid the way, I never could have afforded to go. But it was the time of my life, and the place is just magnificent. And we ended up being able to go out to the Gold Cup steeplechase race, and it was all in fall colors. And, you know, we wore our big hats. My sister went with me, and we went to Hobby Lobby and made, you know, these real fancy hats. And it was so funny when we got back there, because here were all these elite socialite women wanting to know, you know, where we bought our hats from. And here we just, my sister's a very talented girl, and I didn't, you know, I said, oh, well, my sister made it. And they said, oh, well, do you have a store? Can we buy it? You know, but those fall colors were, you know, Middleburg, Virginia, and the fox hunt and all of that. And then Oregon. I lived in Oregon for a while, so riding in around that area, you know, just any place where the color changes, it is just glorious in the fall. And the air is just different. The birds are different. Everything is changing, and there's a lot of energy to it. I just love it.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we really need to appreciate is how blessed we are in this country to have so much diversity in the places that we can ride, and they all just have such beauty. I lived in El Paso, Texas for a few years, and coming from Tennessee, being an old hillbilly like I am, it was quite a change to go out there to that desert landscape. But I just, as I was out there, the longer I was there, the mountains were different. But I realized how beautiful the desert actually is. If you stop and look at the, you know, as the cactus is blooming in the spring, just absolutely gorgeous anywhere that you want to ride in the United States. And
anywhere, and
around the world, and around the world. That's right. It's just absolutely gorgeous out there. Do you have a favorite destination in any time of the year? Just a favorite place that you've ridden sometime?
Man, there are so many magnificent ones. One that really comes to mind to me is the Sawtooth Mountains of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was just that it was, you know, just everything went perfect for that trip. But my husband and I went up there, and I can't think of, I mean, we didn't even know where we were going. We were coming from South Dakota and driving back across, and we just started driving around, you know, the hills and finding campgrounds and trails to ride on, where you ride up to these beautiful little, you know, those lakes where the water is just crystal blue. And that, I just remember there's just something about that whole area up there that was really, really spectacular that I do remember. But so much of the riding, I think, has to do with the scenery. It has to do with if you're getting along with your horse.
Right.
and it has to do with the people that you're with. You know, I love to go out and ride and not, you know, I like to do group rides. I like to ride by myself. I did a lot of riding by myself when I was training for endurance riding in Central California, and I like doing that as well. I just like being on a horse out in on the trail. It's just so exhilarating, and it's such a wonderful connection with the horse to really be able to get out on trails. And you're faced with so many obstacles and situations that you have to deal with out there. Nothing's ever the same. And I like that.
Well, and that's going to bring us into a part of the conversation that we want to get into today, and that is on rider safety. And I think I mentioned to you last night, just in this past week, I learned that a good friend of ours, Craig Cameron, had had a horse accident. And, you know, Craig is one of the country's top clinicians and trainers, and spent some time in the hospital, and I understand he's recovering well from that. And then one of our music friends had an accident this past weekend and was in the hospital. So regardless of what your skill level is, accidents can happen. But what are some things that we can do to kind of be prepared and protect ourselves a little better?
Well, I will tell you, Trailblazer Magazine, in every issue practically, we talk about trail safety. And really, the most important thing, I think, if you, in fact, in this current issue, there's two articles in there. One is learning how to ride in a group, because you need to know how to ride in a group. Not all horses get along, and you need to understand where your horse should be in the group and how you should be looking out for other horses in danger. I mean, I watched a horse one time. It was actually at the starting line of an endurance ride, but this girl wasn't paying any attention, and the horse next to her didn't like her horse, and all of a sudden he, you know, shot out and cow kicked, and her leg was right against the side of the horse, so she couldn't have any swing away, and just shattered her leg. And that happened. So I think really it's one thing, you know, like that movie with Billy Crystal.
Right.
It's one thing, and that's that you need a well-trained horse. So many people believe, I mean, if you go compete in the show ring, you have to train for it. You have to take lessons. You can't just take your horse and say, oh, I'm going to go do a dressage trial, or I'm going to do reining. You have to train. But there's this misconception that trail horses, just get on him and go. And that's the misconception, and that's really where the accidents happen. When you think about it, your horses are going out on trails that they don't know. You're going to meet up with, some of the most insane. I mean, even getting caught. I can remember on that ride with Sue and Ginger, we ran into beehives, you know, going through these trees and these beehives, you know, and, you know, finding a place on a trail where you can't go any further and there's no way to turn around. And there's so many things that can happen. And it starts back home training your horse and taking the time and giving the horse the respect it deserves to learn the lesson before you put it out in a situation where all it really knows is fight or flight, and usually it's flight. It's get the heck out of Dodge. And a horse panics. You know, their defense mechanism is to get the heck out of Dodge.
Right.
They'll fight if they're cornered. And that's what really ends up getting people in trouble, is that they don't have a horse that in a situation where they're faced with something really dangerous, they have to stop and listen to the rider. And Sue De Laurentiis is just, I think, she and Sean Patrick, the two trainers that write for Trailblazer, are just, I think, two of the most brilliant when they talk about it, not in terms of how to break a horse in a day, but in terms of how to train your horse to learn and teach him to do what they do in the show ring for points. Out on the trail, you do it for survival.
Right.
And it could be backing up. It could be turning on the forehand, turning on your, you know, all the different things, side passing, all kinds of maneuvers that are not show ring maneuvers. They're actually real life situations. And I can think of so many times when it would have, you know, could have been a real disaster if the horse was not extremely well-trained. And the well-trained means, number one, that they listen to the rider. That when something starts to panic the horse, the rider has a cue for the horse to settle down, settle and listen, and then the horse looks to the rider to give him the cue about where to go and what to do. And he doesn't rely on that immediate flight. Linda Tellington-Jones is another one who really started a lot of that, but everybody, you know, thought, oh, that's too boring because it takes too long. Well, it doesn't take that long. Horses are really, really fast learners, but they deserve to be taught in a slow way so that they get it and that they don't react out of fear. And that's
gotta
what
build
I think.
Trust.
Yes?
You gotta build trust. You gotta get that partnership with you and your horse so that your horse knows that in fear he can trust you as a rider and you as a rider can trust your horse.
Exactly.
And I think trust is very trust. Number one important.
Yep. And that's what it is. And being sad to say, most people, I just cringe when I hear some people brag about the fact that they just bought this, you know, unbroke horse and went out on a trail ride or went and did something, and they think that's a funny saying. Well, I don't think it's funny. I'm quite opinionated on that. and because it's not fair to the horse, it's not fair to the rider, it's dangerous, and it's sure
right.
in fact not fair to the horse to put him in a situation where he hasn't been properly schooled to be out on the trail. And there's a lot of show ring horses that completely fall apart out on the trail. They can't handle the new stimuli that comes every step of the way. You know, it's not their normal pattern of the arena work. And so these trail horses have to, you know, deal with the natural elements of life. Could be a thunderstorm, lightning storm, wind storm, you know, beehives, bears, fall offs, raging rivers. You know, how do you get across a flash flood river? It happened to me one time on an endurance ride. We were caught in a flash flood. So there's a lot of situations that you really need to learn. And Gary and I have talked about this before. I think some of the best, most well trained horses are trail horses.
Well, I do too, and I think it irritates me when people say, "Oh, they're just a trail horse," because I think they're probably some of the best athletes and best trained. If you have a good one, that you can have is a great trail horse. But you know, you mentioned something that I think is really important for folks. There are a lot of people that don't ride their horse until they're ready to go on a trail ride. And I've always found it was very, very important to spend time riding your horse and just, you know, spend time connecting and practicing some things that you might have to encounter out on the trail. And I do think the trail is a great place for horses to learn some things. I think one of the easiest ways to teach a horse to neck rein is to get out on the trail.
Yes,
because,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's so easy to do that, and as well as putting a canter on a horse. I mean, there's nothing better than going up a hill and a horse being able to naturally pick up that canter.
Mm-hmm.
So good training on both ways. And
it has to be. And it just reminded me of a funny moment, a mistake I had made my whole life. I always seem to have tall horses, so when I had to get on and off, out on the trail, I had to find a tree or a big rock or whatever, and it was always such an ordeal. I would walk over and get on the rock and then pull the horse over and get him in position. Right when I was about ready to step on him, he'd step away, and I'd go, oh, and I'd have to get off and turn him back around. And the first time I did that up in, although it was a short horse, the first time I did that with Ginger and Sue said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get on the horse." She goes, no, that's not what you do. You go stand on wherever you want to stand, and you tell the horse to come and get in the right position so that he's absolutely where your leg needs to be to get into the stirrup and to stand absolutely still. She said,
mm-hmm.
I went, oh, yeah, okay. Hello. And it was something that I had always been a problem my whole life, and it was a simple, simple solution. But it was a safety solution because if the horse starts to take off and your foot's half in the stirrup, I mean, you know, it's can be really dangerous. So there's so many things. And one of the things with Sue and with Sean has a really neat series in Trailblazer where we ask people to give him scenarios, like how do I teach my horse to such and such. And he goes through the training. And you're right when you mentioned it's trust. I mean, that's really ultimately what it is, trust. And you can't have trust if you just present the horse with a situation and you don't have the cues, you don't know how to tell him where to go and what to do, and he doesn't know, and it's, I mean, that's just an accident waiting to happen. So, but what Sue's take is, Sean does a brilliant job, and he writes it, and our readers love it because he writes it, he's a really, really talented horseman. I think he's one of the best, and he writes it in such a way that it really makes sense to people, and they really, he doesn't dumb it down for them in any way, shape, or form, and he tells you the steps, what to look for, the, you know, what the horse is probably going to do, and, you know, how you can get him to go in the right direction, and it's basic stuff, but it's sophisticated stuff. He really teaches you. Sue and Alan Polk, her husband, do this series called, we call it Taking Tricks to the Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in love with every time she does it because there are things that you can teach your horse, so many things you can teach your horse, and she has a style where she does it where they're tricks, but they're really just a way of teaching the horse to listen to you and to behave. And I remember one was teaching your horse to stand his ground when you're in, you know, you're out on a group of people and then some horse freaks out and starts to run away, teaching your horse to stand his ground and not whirl and take off and knock you over or whatever. And there's I mean, it sounds like a pretty basic thing, but it's a thing that she's done. I told you about getting on the horse, teaching the horse, you know, that you tell him where to stand and he stands still and you don't have to chase him around. I mean, there's just, her work is just absolutely brilliant. And it's fun. It's really fun because they use obstacles and pedestals and different things. And I've watched her, you know, she'll be riding along and her hat fell off and the horse reaches over and picks the hat up and gives it back to her.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
How many times has that happened? You can drop anything and tell your horse to pick it up and he picks it up. You could, you know, anything could drop. And so there are things that just really, really apply. But both Sue Allen and Sean have a way of training and the way that they present it in Trailblazer that I think is really very, very unique. And it's not, you know, how to train your horse in one day. It's about how to get that trust and respect, which takes time.
Well, and that's very, very important. And we're going to take a quick break because we've got to give something away in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk more about rider safety and more about what's coming up in Trailblazer. But right now we want to mention that you have time to enroll in our Legacy Club by visiting equestrianlegacy.net. Legacy Club membership is free, and you're automatically entered in weekly, monthly, and a big year-end drawing for a grand prize that we're going to give away. And our monthly drawing this week is provided by Showtime Trailers. So you can visit Showtime Trailers at our website, equestrianlegacy.net. And when we come back, Tina May, I'm going to let you announce our weekly drawing winner for the Legacy Club. Okay?
Hi.
All right, and so we're going to be back and talk more with Susanna and Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
my love. At a chapel there standing alone, with the years I've come to know that I'll never love another. So I'm leaving today, and I'm leaving to stay down in old Mexico. Down in Mexico, a Spanish guitar softly playing.
Song by the Sisters of the Silver Sage down in Mexico. And Tina May, I know you have a winner ready for us, and tell us about that.
Yes, the winner of this week's Legacy Club member drawing for a Foundation First Horsemanship Breakaway Halter is Linda Starnes of Kentucky. Congratulations, Linda.
All right, so Linda will be receiving her great breakaway halter. I actually saw one of those the other day, and they're really neat. But a breakaway halter from Foundation First Horsemanship. And again, you can go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and enroll in the Legacy Club. It's free. You get great discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors and special offers, and then you're automatically entered in our weekly, monthly, and end-of-the-year drawing. Susanna? When I was listening to that last song, I mean, I just wanted to shake my maracas or my whatever those things are. you know, out in California, and, you know, we might want to talk about this sometime on another show. There are two things that I'd like to talk about sometime, but one of them, I'm sure you've been exposed to the vaquero lifestyle, horsemanship style.
Oh, yes, because I live in Central California. Yeah, we live close to Santa Barbara.
Yeah, just the center of that, and all of the influence of the Spanish there in California, and that's a different style of horsemanship.
Mm-hmm.
That I'd like to talk about in a future show. And when I got up this morning, another thought crossed my mind, and that is, and I'd love to do this pretty soon, is to talk about how riders my age can continue to stay in shape so we can enjoy our trail riding.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be something we might want to talk about, too, which kind of ties into riding safely. But in addition to having our horses prepared, what does a rider need to do to be ready to hit the trails?
Well, if you're heading out on the trail, one of the most, I mean, you need to know, and there's different layers, survival layer, where you need to know where you're going. You need to, you know, check out a map ahead of time. I can't tell you how many people just take off, you know, in this big adventure. They don't know where they're going. They haven't left a note for anybody where they're going. And they get lost, you know, out on the trail. So
right.
That's a really, really important thing, is to take the time and also to let people know where you are, to, if there's a sign-in book at the trailhead, stop and take the time to sign in. I mean, people aren't going to find you if you're not back by the end of the day if they do not know where you are. So that's very, very important to do that. I'm a firm believer in bringing GPS technology with you and learning how to use it. You can get really simple units, but that will help you find places on the trail. And more importantly, there's a really neat one that I think Bruton makes, where you turn it on and you go wherever you're going to go, and then when you're ready to head back, you push the button and it says, you know, take me home, and it actually guides you, you know, make sure that you're on the right trails heading back home again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's very, very important to know that as well. I think it's important to understand the terrain that you're riding in and what scenarios could happen in the terrain that you're riding in. Deserts, I lived in Arizona for 15 years and rode in the desert a lot, and it has a whole different level of things that you have to watch out for. Of course, cactus, flash floods, dehydration, no water. It's important on your trail ride that you check out ahead of time where the water sources are and if there's water in the water sources. I mean, some of these are survival things, but they are safety things as well.
Right.
And check it out, and don't just say, oh, look, there's a reservoir there. Well, call up and find out if the reservoir has any water in it. If it's in California, it probably doesn't.
There's
this beautiful Pacific Ocean, but no water anywhere. And you can kill your horse if you go out on a trail ride and you don't have water. You can absolutely take your horse down to the point where they die from dehydration. So you really cannot pack enough water for your horse. You need to pack enough water for yourself, but make sure you know what your water sources are out on the trail, and I think that's important as well. You need to know the kind of footing that you're going to be going on. I mean, there's research it. You know, don't just head out on the trail, but take the time the way hikers do. Take the time to research where you're going and know, have a knowledge of the area, have a knowledge of where cities are around you or where roads would be that if you did get lost, you know, where what direction would be the nearest road that you could walk, you know, get out to. And I find that fun. I think it's fun to do reconnaissance and figure that stuff out. It makes me feel very, very safe once I head out. I think
well,
also...
Well, Susanna, one of the... I'm sorry.
Yep.
One of the things that I like to tell people, like, people are starting to get more adventurous, and there are those that like to go out on their own. And if they're going in a area, one of the things that I like to tell people is to leave a map of the route that they are taking... and a family member's phone number in the truck in case there's an emergency. If somebody comes
excellent
up missing,
idea.
And then they can get into the truck and they can find out, you know the route that they had taken, but then you need to stay on that route as well. But what are some of the things that you recommend riders to take with them out on the trail? What should they take with them?
Well, GPS, water. they need to bring enough food, even though... And I got caught in a situation where we thought we were just going to go out for a couple hours. Well, we got lost and ended up having to sleep out on the trail, and we didn't have enough food for us. We didn't have any food for the horses. Luckily, there was grass, so we were able to feed and water them. But always, always take enough food for yourself, and because your energy, if it's cold, if it's hot, no matter what, your mind needs to be sharp, and to be sharp, you need to feed it, you need to be well hydrated, and you need to eat granola bars, whatever it is that you want to bring with you. Don't ever head out, because you just don't assume that you're going to make it back that day. That's my mantra. I pack, and so a first aid kit is really important. There's some wonderful ones you can check out in Cabela's and Dick's Sporting Goods, but there's some wonderful small emergency kits. I'll try to get the name of them, that they really have everything in them that you would need if you get out into an emergency situation, but you need to have that for yourself and for your horse. And so there's, again, referring to Trailblazer, we have articles every year about the safety things to carry with you out on the trail, so that you don't carry too much, but you need to carry enough. One is you definitely need to have some kind of survival blanket. I don't know, what do they call them, those silver ones? But
Mylar blankets?
Yeah. Now, I like them, and they're just as small. I like the one that's actually sewn on three sides like a sleeping bag. And so when you get down in there, it's waterproof, and it keeps you completely warm. But you have to also think about your horse and, you know, keeping the horse warm and giving the horse food and taking care of yourself. You need to bring, you always absolutely need to have some kind of knife, or even better, a Leatherman or Gerber is one of my favorite multi-tools, because you don't know when you're going to have to cut the halter or head stall off your horse if something happens. And they usually have wire cutters on them. What if your horse gets caught up in some wire? You need to have, you know, wire cutters that you can get the horse out. And if you've trained them the way Sean and Sue has trained them, when a horse gets caught up in something, you teach them to be absolutely still and quiet so that they don't flail around. And then you go through the process. Well, you've got to have, you know, something like that. You need to bring pieces of leather, and I'm a big fan of zip ties.
They're
wonderful, because if your bridle breaks or your stirrups break or your D-rings break or something, I mean, you can always, you know, zip tie everything on really, really tight. I always bring a little tube of Desitin or some kind of ointment in case my horse gets a rub on the breast collar or any place. If I start to see a rub happening, then I immediately have something that I can put on there and grease, you know, kind of keep it moisturized and slippery so that it doesn't happen anymore. I check all the time. Every time I stop, I check around the whole horse and lift the saddle pad up and the girth to make sure that nothing's rubbing on the horse.
We have got so many great safety ideas from this conversation today, and unfortunately, as happens, we can talk on and on and on about these things, but we're going to have to go to Alabama in just a little bit from California to Alabama. Tell us what's coming up in Trailblazer for the next issue.
Boy, really exciting. We have quarterly, we have special editions, and the special edition coming up in November, if people subscribe now, they'll get it, is our hoof special edition. And as always, with Trailblazer, we come at it with guns blazing. We get the top experts in the world, and we have Chris Pollitt from Australia, who's considered the number one expert on natural hoof. We have Jameson, who's, again, brilliant on natural, you know, most of them, we pretty much promote not shoeing your horse unless you need to. It's always the caveat, some horses must be shod, and we understand that. But we've got how to take care of your horse, how to you as an owner be able to look at the hoof and know whether the hoof is in balance, know when you need to make some changes, know whether the hoof is healthy or not by seeing its coronet band and the frog and the, you know, different bands and things. So it is going to be about 40 pages of the magazine, and it's going to be pretty much, I think, probably the best guide to hoof care natural hoof care that you'll find in any book anywhere. So it's,
oh, wow.
I'm really proud of the work Bobby Joe's done on this issue.
Well, we're looking forward to this issue of Trailblazer, and of course, always great articles from Dutch and Robert and your
yeah.
other authors that are in there. So just always chock full of great information. And where can people find Trailblazer Magazine?
www.trailblazermagazine.us, U.S.
All right.
United States. And you can go there, and we offer print, but we also have really half price for digital for people that like to read their magazines on their iPad, their computer, or their Kindle. We've gone digital that way, and we add videos into it, and it's really a fun one. So we're pushing that. But yep, they can subscribe, and I guarantee you that if they're like everybody else when they get magazine, nobody's ever been bored with Trailblazer. It's always the newest and most fun. We keep it fun, but we keep it really educational. It's my passion to educate people.
And a beautiful magazine. And a beautiful
it is
magazine.
Beautiful, isn't it? Ah, it's like
it
it's
is.
Like somebody said the other day, it's like the National Geographic of horse magazines. I was very proud of that. What do you call it? A compliment.
Right. Well, it's a great magazine. You are a great publisher. You are a great guest. Always fun to have you on the show and talk to you. Or even when we're talking, we're not on the show. It's always a pleasure
yeah.
to do that. And we look forward to having you back again. I guess this is the third Tuesday of the month already. This year is flying by.
I know.
Yeah, so we look forward to having you back again next month to visit with us and share some more stories. And we may have to talk about some of the old riders and what we need to do to stay in shape for trail riding, particularly as we're coming into these cooler winter months.
Oh, I've got some great, only because they're from my riders. But, we cover that a lot. We're really into, because you have to be safe. You have to be able to be safe yourself and ride your horse with balance and agility and all of that, and there's all kinds of very easy things to do to stay in shape. You just need to get, Gary, you need to get a big, huge trampoline and, have the little sides up so you don't fall off, and then you can just jump on the trampoline. That's one of the best things you can do.
Well, I may have to try that. And Tina May is
I'm visualizing that. I bet that would be
She's thinking about old age. What is that? She's just such a youngster.
that's what I feel like, old age is. What is that?
All right.
Well, thanks a lot for inviting me in, and I really look forward to talking to you again next month.
All right. Always love talking
Thank
with you.
You.
Thanks so much.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Tina Lawler at Rockbridge Canyon Equestrian Park, one of Alabama's newest event and trail riding destinations. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
Caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. World really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me. I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, yeah. Kick 'em up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning.
Fly by our rock star cowgirl friend Templeton Thompson. And now we're going to fly on down to Alabama and visit with Tina Lawler, who is the activities director for Rock Bridge Canyon Equestrian Park. And Tina, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Gary. I'm glad to be here.
And we're
Hi, Tina May. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantabulous.
Good.
I'm so excited to get to talk to you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to be outnumbered during this segment with two Tinas. I don't know how I'll handle this, but I guess we'll make a stab at it. But I appreciate you being with us today and sharing information about one of Alabama's newest event and trail riding destinations. And when we talked the other day, it was interesting to know a little bit about the history of Rock Bridge Canyon, and would you share some of that with us?
Well, Rock Bridge Canyon Equestrian Park, we're at the horse park, we're about actually a year old this month. October 13th was our first year anniversary. We had our grand opening last year, but now Rock Bridge Canyon itself, which is the walking and hiking of trails, it has been around since the 50s. It was opened by a gentleman and his wife, Mary and Jasper Avery, and that was like in the 50s. And it was a booming. It was people from everywhere come and went walked the canyons, and then they passed away, and they had one son, and so it lay kind of dormant for years. And so a few years back, the town council and the mayor and the people of Hodges got together to see how we could revitalize our area, because our little town was dying. We're a small town in Franklin County, which is located in the northwest part of Alabama. And they looked at industry and that kind of thing and recreation. And, of course, we realized we had all the assets to have a horse park. We had beautiful landscape. Mm-hmm. We had canyons, waterfalls. And so that's kind of how a little bit of history of how this began. So and like I said, I'm the activity director in here. I get the great job of getting to promote it and tell people about it. And I was down in the canyon this morning looking over some things to get ready for my creatures in the canyon this weekend, which I'll talk a little bit about that later. But the leaves are beginning to change here, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. Fall is my favorite time of year here.
Well, it's a great time of year. And one of the interesting things was when we were talking the other day, Hodges, Alabama, is a town, I believe you told me, of about 300 people.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And so the town has just come together and developed this tremendous facility down there. And I know Tina has got a lot of questions about the facility itself, so I'm going to kind of let her jump in and visit with you some.
Okay, great.
Yes. Well, I think it's very unique how you have the whole town of Hodges that is participates and is part of Rockbridge Canyon Equestrian Park. I just think that's neat. That's very unusual, and I think that's awesome. But
Thank you. Tell us
a little bit about, as far as the trails, how are the trails there like, and the terrain and things like that?
Okay, well, we have. I'll just kind of tell you a little bit of a brief about our facilities and our trails. Right now at this time, we have approximately 27 miles of trails, horse trails. They are very well marked and color coded, with signs, ribbons, colored blocks. You know, it's very. And when you check in, when you come to the camp store and you pay your fee and you sign your release of liability, you receive a map, and you just follow this map, and we've got different. The blue trail is the main trail, and it's approximately 12 miles long. And then we have the green trail, orange trail, purple trail, yellow trail, and like I said, all these are. Well, you have a legend, and you can see how long all these are. And then we have two canyons. We have Sand Canyon and Rockbridge Canyon. And then we also have the walking and hiking trails, which you'll receive a map for that tells you all the, you know, points of interest on that. And then we have campsites, and all of our campsites are pulled through, with the exception of a satellite campsite we have that's located in the canyon. And it has four full hookup campsites and eight stalls. But at the trailhead, and we call the trailhead where you check in at, it's where our camp store is located, and the majority of the campsites and stalls. And we have bathhouses that service the campsite areas. We also have an arena that we put on rodeos, barrel racing. We had a donkey pinning up here a few weeks ago, a mounted chute last weekend before last. And so we stay pretty busy around here.
What did you say about a donkey what?
Donkey pinning. You ever been to a donkey pinning?
No. What is a donkey pinning? Is that an Alabama thing? You know I'm up.
Well, I thought it was an everywhere thing, but I guess I'm wrong.
Tell me about this donkey pinning.
Okay. You got your donkeys, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You do like team pinning. You draw numbers. You can in the team pinning, you draw numbers and say, like, if you drew a two, you would do your donkeys in order, like you have five. Okay, you go 2, 3, 4, 1. Two, three, four, five, one. Okay. If you drew like a three, you go 3, 4, 5, 1, 2. Does that make any sense?
That does.
So you use donkeys instead of cattle.
Yeah, I guess.
You pin them, but you use donkeys instead of cattle. That could be interesting.
It is very funny. It's hilarious.
Well, now how does that work out for folks? You know, how's a donkey compare to a cow when you're trying to pin?
Oh, they love it. Oh yeah, they love it. You need to come. You need to come to Hodges. You need to check us out.
I'd imagine a donkey's a little more stubborn.
Oh God. That's got to be an Alabama thing. They do some funny things.
I don't know. It may be. I've never really even thought about that because, you know what? I've lived here 50 years. I've lived here my whole life.
Oh, gosh.
I've heard of it before. That is unique. You just got all kinds of neat little unique things about your place.
Yeah. That's why you had to come visit.
I want to go back to the trails because you've got a lot of sights on the trail. And you've got a lot of waterfalls. I want to talk about that. People love to hear that kind of stuff. And I'd like to know some of the sights on the trail.
Okay.
There at the Rock.
Okay. Rockbridge Canyon. Well, we have now I'm going to talk a little bit about the walking trails and the horse trails because they kind of intertwine. The walking trails are, we have the different points of interest. We have what we call Canyon View. We have Over the Top. We have the Natural Rock Bridge, which is 100 feet high and 82 feet long. And then we have this huge rock that you can go, we call it Top of the Rock, and you can view the canyon below, which is like a 285 feet view, you know, from atop the rock down into the canyon. We have these two huge rocks that they're formed to make like what looks like the Ten Commandments. We have Mystic Falls, which is another one of our waterfalls. We have Spring House, which is these big giant rocks that are like fell together to form a house, and you can walk through it. And we've made walkways and pathways, and you're on water, but you're walking on little walkways we've made. The water's running under you. And then we have little bridges, and we have one huge rock that we call Noah's Ark, and because it looks like the front of an ark, a ship. And we just have all kinds of, we have Old Water Mill, we have Stone Ledge, Spy Rock. And like I said, you'll get a trail map that shows you where all these go. And then on the horse trails, we have, like I said, Sand Canyon. We have Hyman's Highlands. We have Mystic Falls. We have Chamblee Falls. We have a place we call Land of the Lost. We have more, there's like, I think, a total of 7 waterfalls on the property.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really breathtaking. It's just, I went down there this morning to work on some stuff, and I've been down there a gazillion times, and it never gets old to me. It's always new, you know, because I grew up playing in that canyon as a little girl, and then my kids played in it, and now my grandkids, when they come home, they love to go down there and play. So it's just a kind of a generational thing for me, too.
You were talking about the, what was the deal about walking on the water thing? What was the?
It's like the Spring House. It's these two big rocks that are formed together, and you can walk through them, you know, walk under them and around them. And we've built walkways in there where the water's still flowing underneath to you, but our little walkways are on top, so your feet doesn't get wet. I mean, well, it might be a little bit, but. It's really cool. We call it Spring Houses. That was really the original Mary and Jasper Avery that done this in the 50s, that built all these, you know, walkways and stuff, which we had to go back through and build them because they had, you know, rotten and you know, went in disrepair. But we fixed all that back up, and we kept a lot of the names that they had because, well, they're just great names, and they're great points of interest. And we had a few that we found, but most of them is the original. So if people that are listening to this that might have been here right before a long time ago into the Rockbridge Canyon, they'll come back and they'll get to see these things and they'll remember them.
Well, it reminded me of the joke about the rabbi, the priest, and the Baptist preacher that were out walking on the water, and I won't tell that one, but I'll tell it to you later.
Leave all our listeners hanging, Gary.
I'll leave
you do that, Gary.
Yeah,
back a little bit on the facility, because Tina, you kind of touched base on that inner canyon. That inner canyon's kind of like its own little separate place. It's kind of to itself, where you had the 4 hookups and you've got a cabin and the 8 stalls and everything. But what about the rest of your facilities? Because you have more campsites and stalls and the cabin and things like that.
At the trailhead, we have 34 campsites that are all pulled through, and we have 56 stalls. And we also have a road around the perimeter and of the camp, and it's very, very, very friendly for people who don't like to back up their horse trailers. We have a lot of people that love that because – it's like I said, they're all pulled through. They're very wide, and they accommodate big rigs. And right, I drove out through the campsites this morning, and I counted six or seven Allegros. It was just side by side, and they had just tons of room. And we're also very RV friendly. We have people that come just to walk and hike and just to hang out, you know. And I'm super excited about yesterday. We got our cabin, and it pulled in yesterday, and we're setting it up, and it will sleep 6 to 8 people. And so that's another amenity we can offer people. It has of course, it has a living room and a bathroom, shower, and it sleeps. And, well, I probably sleep more than that because the futon makes out into another bed. So I guess just how friendly you are with the people you come with, you know. I mean, you want to bring with you.
She's talking about Tim.
I'm out in the barn.
She's talking about Tim, Tina May.
Oh, that's
no.
funny. Oh,
yeah, some people go off with, you don't care to room close to. Some people, you know, I guess you don't, but anyway.
Goodness. Hey, you know, we want to take a quick break here. We've got to pay some bills. But one thing that we want to mention is that opening up November 1st is the Christmas shop on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. It's a great place to be shopping for the Christmas season, and that will be opening November 1st on our website. That's the Christmas shop. And if you are a vendor that have things that you would like to promote to the horse-loving folks, if you have items you think are great gifts, then you can promote that business in the Christmas shop. So that's coming up November 1st. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about some of the sites that are around there, Tina, and let's talk a little bit about what you've got coming up. But we're going to take a break and do a special song that talks about Alabama. You want to introduce this one for us?
Well, the song you're about to hear is called Alabama in My Soul and happens to be written and sung by my daughter, Brianna Lawler Dean. And she goes by Brianna Dean now, and she's married. And she grew up here in Hodges, lives in Decatur now, which is a city about an hour and 15 minutes from here. But she still writes and sings, and she wrote this song about Alabama. And y'all just enjoy.
All right, well, this is Alabama's in My Soul by Brianna Dean. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
Getting stuck in traffic on the interstate. No way.
Home, Alabama, back road.
in My Soul by Brianna Dean, and that's Tina's daughter. And Tina, does she take that talent from you?
Well, I'm just a backup singer. I used to be. I'm not so much anymore. I'm busy with my job now, but she wrote that song when she was living in Nashville. She had a writing deal up there, and she was really missing Alabama and missing home, and that's kind of where that comes from. So every time I hear her sing that song, it goes back to that time in her life when she was living in Nashville and just really missing home. And that's kind of true. You don't know what you've got sometimes till you don't have it and you miss it, and then something like that comes out of it, a good song. So anyway, thanks for playing that.
Well, talented young lady, and enjoyed it. And let me ask you this: where can they get this if they'd like to buy some of her music?
Well, she actually has a Facebook page. It's Brianna Dean, and you can like her on Facebook. And we sell them here at the camp store. We have CDs with songs she's written on them, you know. So and they're $10. So yeah, that'd be great. You can like her on Facebook and check her out and buy them through Facebook.
Well, be sure and do that. And Tina May, you've got something you wanted to say about that.
Oh, I think she sounded great. I love the song.
Thank you.
How do you spell her first name so that our listeners know? The Brianna.
Brianna is Briana. That's one N. And Dean, Dean.
Dean. That way they can look her up. Well, that is. That's awesome. I loved it.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the other. We got other attractions in your area for people to see. Let's kind of talk about that.
Yeah.
And you know, there's people that come that sometimes both partners don't ride, and they like to visit some other places and everything. So
exactly.
What else is there in your area?
Well, I actually have a Franklin County Tourism Guide that we give the campers and the hikers and walkers that check in and riders. And it tells a little bit about the area. And we have, along with what we offer at Rockbridge Canyon, there's a place up just up the road a few miles called Dismal's Canyon. And they have also have hiking trails and beautiful scenery and waterfalls like we do. Not exactly like we do, but similar. And there's also the lakes. We have the Bear Creek Lakes. We have Big Bear and Little Bear Creeks, which the name kind of is deceiving because Big Bear is the small one and Little Bear is the big one. So I don't know how that happens. But anyway.
That's kind of like the donkey. Kind of like the donkey pinning. That would be an Alabama thing, I guess.
I guess that's what we do. I don't know. I just, you know, it's weird. I don't think about these things until I'm talking to people that don't live around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring my attention to it. Because I've lived here my life, but I don't really, you know, it's like when you just listen to the same thing over and over, you don't know any better. You do the same thing.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, this all came on before I was ever here. So these creeks and lakes. But they have canoeing and fishing and boating and swimming. So, you know, that's just right down the road here, just a few miles. So there is things to do, and there's some golf courses around. I know we have some people that you know, the husband, he don't ride, but he'll come and he'll want to play golf, you know. So there's other things to do in the area. We are rural, you know. We're out here in the kind of in the, you know, sticks.
Which, for our listeners, where about this Hodges in Alabama? So kind of give us a visual where you're located.
Okay. We're in Franklin County, which is in the northwest corner of the state. It up in the left, like towards the Mississippi line. You know, if you're looking at the state of Alabama. I know I went to the Alabama Horse Fair the last 2 years and done a presentation there. And the first year I went, of course, we wasn't even opened. I was just up there telling about us. We had a few miles of trail, but that's about it. And so everybody asked me that all day long. Well, what's Hodges? And so the next year, this year I got smart and draw this big old map of Hodges and put a star where we are, and then I put a star where Montgomery was. So I could say, okay, you're here, and we're up here. So that seemed to work well. So we have a lot of people from the south. We have people from all over. We have people down there right now from Ohio, of course, Florida. We have them from New York, Wyoming, Iowa, Indiana, Missouri. We have a lot of people. We even have people from overseas. We have them from Germany and Australia that come and walk and hike. Of course, they don't bring their horses.
Wow.
They walk and hike. Yeah. This one week, we had this one couple come in and their daughter, and they were from Germany. They come in like on a Monday or Tuesday. And then like towards the end of the week, this other family comes in from Germany, and they can speak English, but, you know, not real well. And I'm like, okay, this is really weird. Two sets of people from Germany in one week. And I asked them, I said, did you know these other people that come from Germany? Like, they're going to know those other people. And they go, no. I said, well, that's just odd that these, you know, but they come, they just hear us through Facebook and see their pictures. And when they're in the area, and they do, like you was talking about, these other attractions. See, they go to Dismal's, and we try to tell people there's more stuff to do around here, not just us. And so we share the wealth, you know. We send them to different places, you know. And so it works out well for everybody.
Well, I think that
that's
you told
right. Well, you know, the radio station,
you're about an hour
go ahead,
from
Gary.
Florence. About an hour from Florence, about an hour from Muscle Shoals, and about the same from Tupelo. So
mm-hmm.
you're really not difficult to get to, and so you may be out a little bit, but not that far out.
No, and we have lots of people from Tennessee come. You know, just and of course Mississippi and Georgia. That's in Florida. Those states, a lot of people come. But we like I said, we have people from New York. We have people from far off, and we have a lot of people come and say they've ridden trails everywhere, you know, and that they love these trails, and that we're some of their favorite type trails, if not the favorite, some of them say. So that makes us excited, and we have a great staff here. We have a great team of people that work every day to make this happen. We have a girl, Jenny, that works the front desk, and she does the reservations and stuff. She's like, when you call in, she'll answer the phone most of the time. Mike Franklin is our director. He's the boss of us all. He has been a horse rider for years and years. And when he designed our trails and our campgrounds, he took things that he liked and didn't like from different campgrounds that he had been to over the years, and he, you know, incorporated it into what we have here, you know. So, and like when in our stalls, you know, we have all the, we have muck buckets, we have the tools, we have shavings, we have firewood, we have a shuttle service, which people love, because say like they don't want to like do a lot of trails, but they want to see certain places. So we have points that we drop them off at, and they just sign a log, and they'll, you know, when they want to leave out, and we shuttle them and their horses to a certain point on the trail and drop them off, and that works out really well. They love that.
Well, that's great.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. And something that's important to me is that you're dog friendly, and
we are.
you're also open. You're round, am I correct?
We're what?
I said, and you're also open year-round?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yes, we are. We're open year-round, and we're here 7 days a week.
That's awesome. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your upcoming events that are coming up, and I'd like to hear about the creatures in the canyon since we're so close to Halloween.
Yes, that's what I've been working on this morning, and I'm so excited about that. And it's called Creatures in the Canyon, and what that is, we take our walking and hiking trails, and we turn them into haunted walking and hiking trails. And you start here at the trailhead with the camp store. You come and pay your fee, and it begins at dark each night, and that's on October the 24th and 25th, which is this Friday night and Saturday night. And we take you on a hayride down into the canyon, and you get off, and then you walk. And we have all kinds of creatures and zombies and werewolves and vampires, and I'm a zombie bride. I'm okay to know that.
Zombie bride.
Say what?
I said, so folks, keep watch for the zombie bride.
Yeah. I was really in disguise last year. Nobody even knew who I was, which I love that.
Well, it's out now.
Hey, something we're going to have this year too that is kind of really creepy. We're having a haunted nursery scene, and it's littered with zombie babies and zombie doctors and nurses and. So that's kind of going to be a little freaky.
Well, you know, I guess that the Walking Dead has had quite an influence on Halloween this year. So it's kind of
I was thinking about that this morning. Zombies has really helped me out.
Oh goodness. Hey, well, listen, tell us a little bit about, you've got Christmas in the Canyon that will be coming up, and maybe a couple of other things, and then give us your website so people can find you there.
Yes, okay, well, we'll have, this is kind of, the Creatures in the Canyon is kind of like our finale of the year, you know, our big thing, which is, like I said, October 24th and 25th this weekend, and then in December the 6th, we'll have Christmas in the Canyon. And what that is we're just going to have Santa Claus in the canyon, and you can come have your picture made with him, and we'll have music and hot cocoa and coffee and s'mores and that kind of thing. Just have a little thing for the kids and big kids. I also want to add one more thing. This weekend we're also going to have a horse and rider costume contest in our arena Saturday night, and we're excited about that, and it's $5 to enter, and it's free to watch. So that begins at 5 o'clock on Saturday night, this Saturday night. And that will be before our Creatures in the Canyon starts at dark. And then if you want to find out more about us, you can like us on Facebook, or you can go to our website, which is www.rockbridgecanyon.com, or you can call us at 205-935-3499 and speak to me, Tina, or Jeannie, and we'd love to chat with you and tell you about us and some more information about us. We also have group rates for churches and for big groups and families, and so we have that going on too.
Well, a lot of neat stuff that's going on, and last week on our Campfire Cafe show, we had some folks that had ridden back early in the year down at your facility, and I asked them, because they'd ridden out west, they'd ridden through several states here in the southeast, and one of them said their favorite place to visit now was Rockbridge Canyon Equestrian Park. So I thought that was quite an endorsement.
Wow, that's great. Now, that's what I like to hear. That's awesome. You know, you can buy advertisement all day long, but word of mouth, you cannot buy that. That is priceless. I mean, and that's how we get – here's what happens. We have people come. They check us out, they love us, and they can't wait to go back and get their friends or their family or their groups, and they come back. And we have that happen so much. And I keep forgetting things, but I want to also mention that the ACTA, the American Competitive Trail Horse Association, is also here this week and this weekend. So they're going to be holding their competition in the arena and on our trails. So we've got that going on top of Creatures in the Canyon and on top of our horse and rider contest. So,
well, just a lot of stuff going on down there in Hodges, Alabama, a city of 300 people that have really done a great job of putting together an event facility and a horse camping facility. And so we encourage people to visit the Facebook page, Rockbridge Canyon Equestrian Park, visit the website as well. And Tina, on our homepage at equestrianlegacy.net, we have a great little, I think it was a 90-second commercial or something that's done.
Yes.
So they can visit our website and take a look at that video and actually see what it looks like down there. Beautiful, beautiful place. So listen,
thank you
so much for taking time to join us today. Thanks for sharing Brianna's music with us. And,
Hey, listen, a big thank you to Salop America and you, Gary and Tana May, for having me and letting me tell everybody about Rockbridge Canyon. I appreciate it so much.
Well, appreciate you and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Tina.
Bye-bye. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
You too.
Well, I survived the two Tinas today. And
You did. Good show.
I
still got this visual of you on a trampoline, Gary. So when that happens, I'd like to see a video.
Yeah, I'll get somebody to film that for you. That should be an interesting sight on there. So anyway, a lot of fun today.
I got me a new place to go visit.
You got a what?
I've got me a new place to go visit. I have got to go down there. That just sounds like a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And I've got to meet.
Are you there?
Yes, I said, and I've got to meet Tina.
All right. She's got to meet Tina. To get those two Tinas together, it may be a handful. I'm pretty sure it would be. But anyway, a lot of fun talking with Susanna today and visiting with Tina Lawler down in Rockbridge Canyon Equestrian Park. A lot of exciting things going on with Equestrian Legacy Radio. We have our new mobile app that we rolled out about 2 weeks ago, and I'm getting feedback from folks that are telling me that they just love it. They can listen to it while they're driving down the road. And I had somebody tell me the other day that they had me in their back pocket while they were cleaning stalls. And so I didn't know how to take that, but they were actually listening to the show while they were working in the barn off the new mobile app. So you can download Equestrian Legacy Radio's mobile app by visiting our website. And again, that's equestrianlegacy.net. And it's a great way to listen to our shows, connect with us through email or to our website, and the mobile app is free, so be sure and take advantage of that. Tina May?
Yes?
Who's coming to visit with us next week?
Next week we have Melissa Sells with Showtime Trailers, and she's going to talk about winterizing our living quarter trailers. And then we go to Flora Home, Florida, with James Cuneo, owner of the Patriots Ranch.
Okay, so that's going to be a lot of fun talking with those folks. This Thursday, we have joining us Susan Tomasini from California, who has the Tomasina Training Center out there. She practices light hands horsemanship. And we're also joined by our good friend, Mary Ann Kennedy, a tremendous singer and songwriter and quite the horsewoman herself. And then on Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, she has a special guest, Diana Tibbett, who will be joining us for that show. And that's a new addition to Equestrian Legacy Radio's lineup, and that's on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. So a lot of exciting stuff going on. Tina May, you're getting ready to do another ride, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And where are you headed this time?
I'm headed down to Cross Country Trail Rides down in Eminence, Missouri.
Okay, so when you come back, you're going to tell us all about that.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
All right, well, we're looking forward to hearing about the Cross Country Trail Ride that's coming up right away. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. We remind you, as always, to tune in on Tuesdays at noon and on Thursdays at noon for Saddle Up America and the Campfire Cafe, and then at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings for Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And we remind you again, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening.
May the good Lord take a liking to ya. May he spread his blessings on your trail. May he be your guide anywhere you ride, and be always your host when you're needing him most. May the good Lord take a liking to ya. May your prayers for comfort never fail. And till someday you make a dream come true with the making you've never. Beside you all the way. May he be your pal in your life corral, and be part of your team when you lasso a dream. May the good Lord take a liking to ya. May your wishes never go astray. And if someday you find a love that's true, with the finding you've nothing to do,
dream come true with the making you've nothing to do.